Birmingham, Alabama. And I said, well, maybe somebody's around, and I thought, maybe somebody's around town. They'll have something, something important. They might not know it, but some little something that could get important. They won't spend that money for a long-distance call. If they knew there was somebody in town here that they could forward it on to, they might do it. That was the only reason. I don't need any more business. I've got all the work I can do. I'm not interested in advertising or anything else. But I did think there should be somebody's name here, that somebody wanted to volunteer some information, they could do it. And if they hadn't done that, my name never would have been. I wouldn't even have seen the man.
Mr. Hayes, let me ask you, when you would, prior to this article, September 12th, when you would go to prospect the witnesses, did you properly identify yourself?
Yes, sir, I have a notarized letter of identification.
Did you show them authorization from Mr. Haynes Sr.?
Yes, it's signed, Mr.
For them to talk to you and stating that you were employed by him as the investigator in this case?
Yes, sir, I had adequate identification.
After you presented your identification and other credentials, then they still refused to talk to you?
Yes, sir.
On occasion, I'll ask you whether or not you even took a court reporter along with you to record the statements of these prospective witnesses?
Yeah, nearly all the time I can get a court reporter. I try to keep one with me at all times during this case.
And you found that it was impossible to get any information from any of these prospective witnesses?
The lid was on.
And for that reason, that reason alone, you asked Mr. Edmondson to make some mentioning of the court's instruction of Friday, the previous Friday, about that they did have a right to talk to the attorneys or the investigators in connection with the case.
For no other reason in the world. It was the only reason I ever.
Is there anything that I've failed to ask you that you want to now from this witness stand tell His Honor in your defense to this petition for citation for contempt, Mr. Hayes?
I was never served with this order. I read newspapers as much as anybody else does. Mr. Haynes, when he hired me, he admonished me. He says, don't say anything to anybody about Ray's innocence and about the witnesses, what you expect them to say, what you don't expect them to say, anything that would kick back late in the trial. Mr. Haynes, he didn't mention the treatment of the prisoner in jail. Of course, I never have. No night I would even see the prisoner in jail. I know nothing about that.
Well, have you willfully and deliberately gone out in the world and defied and disobeyed the orders of this court?
No, Mr. Livingston, I have not knowingly or willingly. I say that what little bit I know now, I mean, from what I know and all, that there's nothing in the world I would like better than for client and the state to have a fair trial. I have no apprehension about the state having a fair trial. I'm all for both sides having a fair trial in this case. I have nothing to fear if it's fair and down the middle. And as it is, I wouldn't have done this. This contempt citation has thrown me back again. I have witnesses who were afraid. They said, I'd like to... Can I say what the witnesses said to me?
Well, I'm sorry.
I'd like to talk to you. I'm afraid I'll go to jail. They told me not to talk. And of course, I come back and I say, well, as long as you tell the truth, they can't put you in jail.
Excuse me, I don't want to cut off. What is this guy?
The materiality and the purpose of this is they still won't talk to him because they say they hauled you up there on a contempt charge and they'll get us up there too. That's what he's getting at.
What has that got to do with the merits of the issues before the court? Just in the interest of time, Mr. Livingston, I don't want to cut anybody off. I just think we'll have to do it. You got anything else that's relevant unless you have it?
Mr. Hayes, you have not willfully, deliberately defied and disobeyed the orders of this court. You don't intend to do so in the future, do you?
No, sir. I never have, and I never
do. You intend to go about your private investigation work and...
Excuse me, Mr. Lennon. Can I have the witness testify? Well, as you please, sir. I mean,
If I did it, I didn't intend to, and I don't intend to do it in the future. I'll
be cross-examining. Come back and tell me.
Concerning his health. I have no knowledge of his health.
You want some water?
No, sir. All right.
Jackson, Renfro DA's 40-year-old investigator with offices in Commerce Title Building, prepared some of the conditions and raised cell devices used by communist police agents to destroy the health and balance of their victims. Fourth, devices used by communist police agents to destroy the health and balance of their victims is surrounded by books. Did you make any part of that?
No, sir, I did not.
Hayes spoke with bright lights, kept shining night and day, television cameras constantly monitoring the prisoner and of the uninterrupted lack of privacy. Did you state that?
Not in those words, no, sir.
Well, yes.
Maybe. I'd like to say, it's best I can remember just what it was.
That's exactly what I want you
yes,
to do.
Yes, sir. This is going to be the best I can remember.
Say.
I talked to Mr. Edmondson three times. Once on the telephone. It was very brief. I talked to him again in the office of the Commercial Appeal. And the third time was at my home, which was a much longer, was a conversation and a visit. We sat at my kitchen table. Mr. Edmondson had a notebook. I was trying to get different, trying to sell him on the idea of getting some headlines. I wanted something like, it's okay for witnesses to talk to both sides, says Judge. I wanted something that would really make it easy for him. The incarceration of Mr. Charles Quinton Stevens came up. At that time, he had been freed on the writ. I wanted to get that in there again, that no one, because they were a material witness, and I did have a certain person in mind, could be put in jail like that. That was what I wanted. I was trying to sell that. And I wanted, for one reason only, to make my work easier so I could do my job better. Now then, after we tried to, I tried to sell this story to him that I wanted to print and all. Sold his notebook, put it on one side, and we talked shop. He's been on cases that I've worked on. We talked about various cases that have been Shepard case, the Coppolino case. I can't remember all of them. And a case did come up in our conversation where a light had been shined on a suspect's face for an extended period of time, and a confession was obtained, and later on was reversed, I think, because of the light shining on his face. And we discussed that case, and then, and I'm saying this sincerely, I might have brought it out, but actually Mr. Edmondson was the one that brought in the lights on Mr. Ray. And I kind of laughed at